birth of God's glorious King, the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of a new king is a big deal. Consider our earthly kings. At present, the entertainment world is enamored with the announcement that there will be a royal wedding next year between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, and many people are really excited about it. Or on next Netflix at the moment, you might be watching series 2 of The Crown, which apparently is the world's most expensive ever produced TV series. Why is so much money being invested into producing a TV drama about the monarchy? Because many people are fascinated by our royal family. And remember a few years ago when Prince George, the son of Kate and Wills, the future King of England, and for what it's worth, the future King of Australia. Remember when Prince George was born? For about a week, the world's media, including Australia's, went mad with excitement. It seems that even in a modern egalitarian society like ours, with a ceremonial monarchy and a democratic parliament, there is still a touch of glory surrounding the birth of a new king. Jesus, God's eternal King of Kings, is the most glorious king who ever was or is to come. Again and again, the Bible attributes glory to him. In Revelation, all of heaven worship Jesus, and it cries out to him, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." In our reading from Philippians tonight, the Apostle Paul, who wrote that letter, says that Jesus was God in his very nature. So when Jesus, God's King of Kings, who is far more glorious than any earthly king, and who is also God himself in the flesh, when he came to earth at that first Christmas, what kind of reception could we have expected for him? Well, perhaps not the one that he got. Jesus was not born in a palace or in a castle like an earthly king. And he was not surrounded by the powerful or the wealthy or the influential when he came. Rather, when God came to us in Jesus, he came gently and with humility. Jesus was born in the small town of Bethlehem, laid in a feeding trough for animals, and he was first received by ordinary people, like shepherds. In the words of Philippians, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. At Christmas, Jesus gave up the glory of heaven to come in humility to be with us human beings on the earth. And Jesus' ministry was one of humble service. And the climax of that was its end in its humiliating death on the cross. In Jesus' own words, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And as Paul in Philippians puts it, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. But why? Why did this holy and glorious God of heaven come in humility to serve us in our broken and sinful world? Well, in a sense, Jesus was following us human beings and our own fall from glory and away from God. All human beings are created in God's glorious image. That is what sets us apart from the animals and the rest of creation. that we're designed to bear God's image and to directly enjoy the glorious presence of God. There's a beautiful image in the Bible story of the Garden of Eden, where God would regularly meet with the first human beings in the cool of the evening and walk in the garden with them and have fellowship with them, like how a father talks to his children. And in this way, the first human beings lived in God's glorious presence. But following the temptation of the devil, we humans rebelled against God, and we were corrupted and marred by our sin. And from that point on, humanity no longer perfectly bore the image of God. And we were no longer fit to be in his glorious and holy presence. And so we were cast out of the garden and away from God and away from his glory. But at Christmas, hope returned to the world. Because Jesus, who is God in the flesh, left his eternal glory and came in humility to rescue us. So God came at Christmas so that he might rescue his people from their sin at Easter, and thus restore in us the perfect image of God, so that we would again be fit to stand in his holy presence, and that we might once again enjoy fellowship with God and live in his eternal glory. What will that be like? To again enjoy a face-to-face knowledge of the glory of God? Well, I'm sure I don't know. But the Bible uses a number of images to describe it. Pure light in which there is no darkness. A wedding feast. A treasure made up of the richest gems. An inheritance of a grand house and a grand estate. A garden full of fruit-bearing trees and a land flowing with milk and honey. A place for you in a royal priesthood and kingdom. And eternal rest, free of sin and toil and evil. This is what God offers us through faith in the promises of Jesus Christ. It's what we often call heaven. A return to our true home, a return to what we were created for. And this work of Jesus to restore us to this glory, in turn, brings even more glory to Jesus and more glory to God, if that were possible. As it says in Philippians, because of Jesus' humble work on earth, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The ultimate purpose of Christmas was the glory of God. At Christmas, Jesus left the glory of heaven and came to earth in humility to glorify his people by restoring to us God's perfect image, so that by faith in Jesus we could again share in God's eternal glory. And in turn, he showed the world his grace and his power so that his name would be ever more further glorified. So where does that leave us now? Tonight, on this Christmas Eve, Jesus Christ will soon return. But this time he will not come in humility, but he will come in the fullness of the glory and the power and the majesty of God. He will finally end all evil, and he also will judge all human beings, both the living and the dead. And this is something that should fill us with humility. If we consider the moral state of the world that we together have made, as well as the moral state of ourselves, So what should we do? How should we get ready for the coming of God's King in his glory? Now in this time of life here on earth when Jesus came to be with us in humility, entrust yourself to God's humble King. As the Bible says in the Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. My friends, if you have never done so, cry out to Jesus in prayer. Ask him to forgive you of your sin and to give you eternal life, and he will gladly do so. That is why he came at Christmas. We can entrust ourselves to this gentle Jesus born on Christmas Day, so that on that last day of judgment, when Jesus returns in his glory, we may rise to eternal life and come home to live with him in his heavenly glory forever. Amen.